Praise the Lord. So what is essentially water baptism? Why does the Christian faith recognize it, honor it? What are some of the reasons that it was introduced? One of the things that I like to do when we talk about things like this is to let you know that there are foundations for what's going on in the Old Testament. It is the cleansing of water was something that was introduced even in the tabernacle, that the priests were required to wash themselves, to cleanse themselves before they went into the presence of the Lord. The cleansing of the outside of the tabernacle was a messy place to be. They were sacrificing animals, and at particular times of the year during certain festivals and recognized days on the Jewish calendar, it would be a mess. And so the demonstration there is that sin is a mess. That's kind of the takeaway from the things that were going on in the tabernacle, is that there is a complete demonstration that sin is something that is painful, it's messy, and it can't simply just be pushed aside. And in the early part of the tabernacle, as they were traveling through the wilderness, there were things that they even had to deal with on a regular basis, that once they were in Jerusalem and had the temple, that was even different. So the tabernacle is an amazing demonstration of what happens when sin comes into our lives. It must be dealt with. And something that it demonstrated was that sin can only be dealt with by the shedding of blood. Now, somebody who is looking outside, who is on the outside of the Christian faith, and they look at that and they say, see, that's a hateful God. See, that's a God that is violent. That's a God that is angry. I've heard that so many times from various speakers in secular settings, that a few of them come to mind, that what they do is they focus on the violence of the Old Testament. But something that you must know as a believer in Jesus Christ, it is that thing that needs to happen in order for sin to be cleansed. A violent act is all that can take care of sin. And the beauty of it is that in our modern churches, New Testament churches, we do not have a tabernacle approach to forgiveness of sin. None of you had to bring a calf this morning that we were going to sacrifice before the Lord for the remission of your sins, for the atonement of your sins. We didn't have to do that. I'm not dressed in some kind of priestly garment that is bloodstained from the ceremony. I am not someone who then comes and takes that and burns it completely at the altar. Do you see what's happening is that Jesus Christ came to this earth and he was the one singular sacrifice that was required for the atonement of my sin. Jesus Christ died on the cross a violent, deadly death. That the descriptions are, even the things that I have going on here, a couple of times I've thought of when they put the robe on Jesus after he had been whipped, and one place in Scripture it says they pulled that robe off of him. Alexa had to pull the gauze off of my shoulder wound the other day, and it was excruciatingly painful. And the things that Jesus went through were violent, they were ugly. He was not recognizable as a man. And all of that took place so that you and I could call him Savior. Then what the Bible says is that in the New Testament, we get introduced to a guy. His name is John, and he is a voice who is crying out in the wilderness. And he was actually the predecessor to the ministry of Jesus Christ. He was actually the one who was first saying, your sins can be forgiven, that your life can be washed away. And then Jesus has this conversation with a man by the name of Nicodemus. And many of us know the popular scripture of John 3:16. But I want to share with you a part of this conversation that Jesus was having with Nicodemus that came before that very popular scripture. He's talking to Nicodemus, and Jesus says to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Just before this conversation, Jesus introduces this to him and says, one must be born again. And Nicodemus has a very logical conversation that goes on out loud with Jesus. He says, well, how is that possible? Is a man to enter his mother's womb and be born for the second time? What are you talking about being born again? And Jesus answers him in such a way that lets me know that sometimes we get hung up on Christian terminology or things that are in Scripture, and Jesus kind of debunks that whole debate mentality about Scripture. Is that what he says to him? He says, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So in other words, Nicodemus, don't get hung up on this idea that you think physically this thing has to happen. It's all going to happen spiritually. And being born again is a terminology that we use here at Grace Fellowship Church. You may have heard it a number of times. When somebody asks Jesus Christ into their heart to come into their life, that is what is called being born again. The old is set away and Jesus Christ comes into our lives. But then there are certain things that Jesus encourages us to continue on with in our relationship with Him. I want you to know this morning that if you have ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, you are born again. Jesus is in your life. He loves you. You're going to see Him in that last day. But there's so much more that He can do in your life. Jesus said that the type of baptism that John was giving was one for repentance. Repent was John's cry. But Jesus' baptism was going to bring complete forgiveness. Forgiveness. And this was a concept that they didn't understand. As a matter of fact, the Pharisees would say to them, what kind of man is this that can offer forgiveness for sins? Then Jesus, in a similar conversation, said to them, well, what's more difficult, for me to say your sins are forgiven and for you to go, or to say to this man, be healed, rise up and walk? And he looked to a man, he said, be healed, rise up and walk. And he looked to the Pharisees and he said, so that you may know that I come from God. So I want you to know that Jesus is a miracle worker. And if he can speak to someone and say, rise and walk, guess what else he can do? He can forgive you of all your sin. All your sin. In the book of Acts, there is Peter, and he's talking to a crowd in the second chapter. And he's convicting people about what happened to Jesus. He gives the complete backstory of what happened to Jesus and the things that he had experienced. And then he kind of looked to them and he said, and it is your fathers that did this. You are the people that were responsible. And so we pick up with it there. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, that's John's baptism, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen to what he adds on, for the forgiveness of sins. So the first thing that happens is we must repent. Peter said, repent, so that's very important. That's asking Jesus to come into your life. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. Who is that? That's us. It's for everybody. Forgiveness is everybody. The promise is for everyone. Everyone whom the Lord God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. This morning I want you to know that these men and women that have said, I want to be water baptized, it is the fulfillment of the cycle of their walk with Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, we find out that the pattern is all kind of, you know, they thought that it was happening in a certain way, and then they would show up somewhere, and some people were being saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, but they hadn't been water baptized yet. Some people were water baptized and saved, but they hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit yet, and they were all getting confused. But one thing that they knew is that all three were extremely important. All three things had to happen in their life. And this morning I can tell you that there are some who have asked Jesus Christ to come into their life. And as you witnessed, there was 9 that came up front and asked and prayed and had the Holy Spirit come into their life 4 weeks ago. We had them come up, they prayed, we laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came into their life. Some of the ones that are up there are the ones that are getting water baptized today. That's amazing. That's the fulfillment of what God wants from us as followers in Him. It says this in Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? This is Paul. In other words, we know that God will forgive us of our sins, so therefore are we to go ahead and sin? Which is an amazing statement that is being made by someone who is saying, I know that you might think that it's okay to sin because all you have to do is go and say, I'm forgiven tomorrow. I heard somebody say that jokingly just the other day. They said, it's okay if I do this because I can go to church tomorrow and I can be forgiven. Well, I don't know about that. If that's your attitude, that formula doesn't work. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means, Paul says. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? That we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. That's what happens when we get water baptized. That's what takes place when we walk in the fullness of what God wants for us. I believe that people sincerely call upon the name of the Lord in various meetings and they ask Jesus to come into their life. But there will continue to be confusion. There will continue to be misguided steps. There will continue to be a life of wandering around until you allow the Holy Spirit to come in and convict you and walk with you and guide you and direct you. I fully believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a requirement so that not that we can gain access to heaven, so that we can gain access to a life that is filled with purpose in Christ Jesus. It is so important. One of my favorite accounts, and I had a bunch of scriptures here, but one of my favorite accounts of water baptism is Philip and the Ethiopian. And what's happening here is that the Ethiopian is reading some Old Testament scripture out loud while he's on a chariot ride, and He happens to go blazing past Philip and he hears him reading the scripture. And so he runs beside the chariot and has a conversation with this Ethiopian. The passage of scripture that he was reading, it says, like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. That's a prophetic scripture talking about what happened to Jesus Christ. The Ethiopian finishes that, and he said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? And I want you to hear this, those of you who have opportunity to share Jesus Christ with people. This is what happens. Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus Christ. All you have to do is open your mouth. Do you know scripture? Do you have scripture in you? You have an opportunity. Philip opened his mouth and began the scripture. Verse 36, it says, and as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the Ethiopian said, see, here is the water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, finally. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the Ethiopian, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and he saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. I want you to know that today, as those of you who are going to be water baptized, we are going to be rejoicing with you. The process that we use here at our church is we dunk. And the reason for that is all wrapped up in the symbolism that I just told you. It is all wrapped up in the symbolism. It is important that we go down underneath. The water cleanses, the Spirit of God cleanses, and we come up new and fresh and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, ready to begin our lives brand new. It's a very important thing. Those of you who are receiving water baptism today, I'm going to ask you to come up. If someone would mind dismissing themselves and go and let Mrs. McCray know that we are going to be heading outside in just a moment. Thank you, Steve. Steve's got it. Thank you. And I want you to know that this morning, if you were hearing this and it was something that really spoke to you, and you say, you know, I didn't sign up, I want you to know that the water baptism is open to you. You've heard the message, you heard what it was all about, but the fact is that sin no longer rules and reigns. It has been defeated. There are countries where this moment, people are literally separated from their families for doing what you're about to do. They're taken away. Some of them are put in prison. Some of them are put to death, depending on the country that you're in. People can give their lives to Jesus verbally all day long, but something about being water baptized, even the secular person who is outside of the body of Christ, recognizes this moment at which you are declaring that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's what's about to happen right here, Grace Fellowship Church. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Father God, we thank you for these men and women that are here this morning. Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we just ask, God, that this would not be some kind of a religious step that we are taking, but God, looking through Scripture, we would see that it is important that we be washed by you, that these that are gathered together this morning, God, that the power of your Holy Spirit come upon them and cleanse them. Give them a fresh outlook on their life. Help them to know how much You love them, Lord God. We thank You, praise You, and exalt You in Jesus' name. Amen. What I'm going to ask you to do is we have some chairs set up. There's a main tent that I think has about 80 chairs in it. There's two side tents that have additional, I think there's 50 between the two of them. You guys can begin to funnel out. I'm going to give some instruction to these that are here, and we'll be out with you in just a moment. So you can just kind of head out, and we'll be with you shortly.